Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Now, would you find Luke chapter 18? Luke chapter 18, we'll start in verse 35. We continue this series on heroes because the goal of God is for you to see a Bible hero so we can be a Bible hero. It may also assist you to find this little piece of paper entitled, Like Bartimaeus, Believe and See Jesus. That is going to be the goal. This old world says seeing is believing, but God's Word says believing is seeing. Let me ask you this. When you are dealing with a difficulty, when you've got an emotional flat tire, where do you go for comfort? I've noticed that some people go to comfort food. As a matter of fact, I saw this release from the AMAN, the American Medical Association, not. It's a joke. But it's about comfort food. For instance, did you know that scientists have discovered, this is good news for those who like comfort food, if anyone, number one, they've discovered five important things about comfort food. If anyone sees you eat it, if anyone does not see you eat it, it has no calories. It totally wipes it out. So if you eat in secret, no calories. Number two, if you drink a diet soda with a candy bar, they cancel each other out. And if the diet soda weighs more than the candy bar, you actually lose calories in the process. They discovered that if you eat standing up, it doesn't count. Furthermore, did you know that desserts actually have been proven to remove stress? Because the word stressed is desserts spelled backwards. There you go. And then lastly, this is such a great discovery. Cookie pieces contain no calories because the process of breakage causes calorie leakage. And so you can eat all you want of broken cookies. Well, let me tell you a better place to go for comfort that is calorie-free and will set you free is to do what Bartimaeus did, and that is to connect to Jesus for comfort, for hope, for healing, for help. So today, let's look through the blind eyes of a man named Bartimaeus and understand that believing is seeing Jesus. Come with me now to Luke chapter 18, and this is God's liberating law. This is his transforming truth. So let's get it down in our spirits. We begin here in verse 35. Jesus is en route to the cross. And it came about that as Jesus was approaching Jericho, a certain blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now, hearing a multitude going by, he began to inquire, "What is this?" And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out, saying, "Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped, and he commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, I want to receive my sight." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight, because your faith has made you well." Immediately, he received his sight and began following Jesus, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God too. Well, let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to come to your word and transform it into a mirror so that we can see ourselves and enable you to meet our deepest needs. Just like for Bartimaeus, you're passing our way right now. Lord, I pray that you'd get me out of the way and that you would deposit through your Spirit into every receptive heart your transforming truth. And I pray for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we learn in Mark chapter 10 that this man's name is Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. In the Hebrew, the word bar means son. Timaeus just meant son of Timaeus. We also know that this story teaches us how we can connect to God's help, hope, and healing. But here's what I want you to do. for this message to have meaning, here's what I want you to do. Pull in here real tight. I want you to identify right now your deepest need. Bartimaeus' deepest need seemed to be obvious. He was blind, and he desperately needed to see. What is your deepest need here today? Maybe it's physical. Maybe you're battling some sort of gargantuan health problem. Maybe the doctor has told you you have cancer, or maybe you have a limited time to live. What is your deepest need? Maybe it's physical. It could be emotional. Maybe your deepest need is you're fighting battles with depression. Every day is so dark, and you see everything through a very negative, dark lens. Maybe you have an anger addiction problem or an addiction issue. Maybe your issue is emotional. Maybe it's relational. Perhaps some people have betrayed you and you feel hurt and wounded, and so you don't trust people anymore. It could be that your issue is financial. Some of you are drowning in debt, and you don't think you'll ever get out. You'll never get to that place where you can be a giver because you owe so much money, and it can be overwhelming to you. Some of your problems are spiritual. Some of you are here, and your greatest need is spiritual because you don't have an authentic connection to the God who created you and wants to save you. I would urge you right now, if you have come here flat, you've come to the right place, because I believe the Lord's going to use this service to make a difference, to create a breakthrough, to pump you up, and to fix what is flat. Well, here's what I want us to discover. I want us to look at this story and see five features of connecting with Jesus and following him. Let's go to number one. Faith is hearing and believing. First observation, faith is hearing and believing. Now, we live in a world that says seeing is believing, but God says it different. God says believing is seeing. When you activate your believer, when you start to trust God, then you see into a different realm. As a matter of fact, look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. This week I was talking to my friend Dwayne Rimmert. He has a group called Flatline. He's a wonderful African-American brother, and God's using him to touch so many high schoolers. But Dwayne said he had heard the gospel, but not until he was 27 did he have his blind eyes open. Satan just had blinded his eyes, and his heart was full of hate, and he was full of hurt. And Jesus stepped in, and he made his blind eyes sighted, and he gave him new life. You see, this is a picture of what God wants to do for all of us. Here is blind Bartimaeus. He has this horrible, wretched existence. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have a profound handicap 2,000 years ago? There was no Social Security. There were no programs for disability. All he did day in, day out is sit in the dark, in the dirt, and appeal for people to give him a morsel of kindness that would come in a few coins placed into his hand or into a little cup. Can you imagine how desperate, how dark his life situation was? And yet the Bible says that this man, probably because of his blind eyes, had compensated hearing. And when the crowds came, we learned that he heard this word that Jesus was there. Now, always remember that you can activate your faith through the word of God. Romans 10:17 is one of the most important scriptures to know. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So Bartimaeus heard the word about Jesus, that Jesus was there. And all of a sudden, his faith began to grow up. It began to leap forward. And he thought to himself, I not only believe Jesus is present, but I believe that he can come and personally make a difference in my life. He can change me. Verse 38 says that he activated his faith and he called out to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So the first step to receiving God's mercy is to activate your faith. You see, what you've got to do to get sight, to become unblinded, is to believe. And that's exactly what he did. But it was a special kind of belief. It was an active belief. It wasn't a silent, passive belief. He didn't just sit there and think in his head, I want Jesus. He began to act. He began to scream and yell, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, screaming like his life depended upon it, because it did. Oh, what a moment when he activated his faith. How about you? Have you activated your faith. You see, that same Lord Jesus is right here. And he wants you to see him, to encounter him. I heard a story about five frogs sitting on a log. Four of the frogs decided to jump off. So how many are left? Well, actually, it's a trick question, all five, because deciding and doing are different. There's an old song, I have decided to follow Jesus, and I've seen many a person walk forward on that invitation hymn. But the issue is not walking forward, it's walking with. Will you activate your faith? Will you walk with Jesus? Well, number one, he activated his faith because the Bible says in Hebrews 11 that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the confidence of things not seen. And without faith, you cannot please God. You cannot connect to him. Well, let's go to number two. So here's Bartimaeus. He can't see the Lord, but he hears that he's there and he begins to call out to Jesus. Number two, and yet look what happens. Resist people who hinder your spiritual progress. You would have thought that this man in such deep need would have been surrounded by people who would have been sympathetic. They would have been cheerleaders for him. They would have been assistants to him. But instead, what happens? Look at verse 39. And those who were around him said sternly, "Be quiet." And yet he kept yelling out all the more. It's so fascinating. This man, Bartimaeus, who was in deep need, he was put down, and the world even tried to shut him down. Jesus predicted this. You remember in Matthew chapter 7, that's what Jesus said would happen. He said there are two ways, two roads in this world. In Matthew 7, Jesus said there's a broad way. And this broad way is the way of the world. And there are lots of people on it, millions of people on it. And it's downhill. And it leads where? To destruction. No, it's easy to take. The gravity of sin just pulls you all the way down. But he said there's another pathway in Matthew 7, verse 14, and it's a narrow way. And it's the uphill and the hard way. And it leads to eternal life. Years ago, I saw a picture that depicted these two ways. But the way the picture presented it touched me so deeply that I still hold on to it. The broad way is this huge path. And the narrow way is not some distant pathway on a mountain far away. The narrow pathway goes right through the middle of the broad way. In other words, we're in this world. And those of us who follow Jesus, we've got to travel up through this group of people who are mocking us. They don't get it. They put people down because we're taking a new path. And it's going counter to the grain of the culture. And it even makes people mad. You see, the world wants you to conform to its way. The world wants you to wear its clothes. The world wants you to speak its language. The world wants you to have its attitude of selfishness and greed. And yet when you go against the world, when you go counter to the world, you're going to raise a ruckus. It's okay if you got a little religion. People will tolerate that. But if you start going all in, all out for Jesus, you are going to encounter the same kind of resistance that Bartimaeus encountered. That's what happened to me. As a young guy, I caught on to the Lord hard, full, and fast. I was in all the way. When I gave my life to Jesus, I said, I'm in. And my vocabulary, my filthy language cleaned up, my horrible views of people and myself, totally transformed. My value system was radically changed. All those things happened to me. And you know what happened? There were some people that I thought were my friends that they just turned their back on me. I quit getting invitations to all the parties. I wasn't as popular as I used to be. You know why? Because I was taking a different road. And it hurt, it stung, it dinged me. And that's what happens when you start going a different way and you go against the grain of the culture. Well, Bartimaeus, they said, "Shut up, Bartimaeus." But he would not. He cranked it up. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. The word where he cried out more is boeo. Boeo. It just means that he cried out even more. It's an onomatopoeia word. It sounds like it. He started saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He cranked it up double the decibel because he was desperate. He knew that the only hope he had to escape this darkness and this meaningless life was Jesus. Well, let's go to number three. The next lesson about connecting to God is found here. Jesus is never too busy to pause and help you. Think about this. Jesus Christ is never too busy to pause and help you. And Psalm 46, we learn that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. We see here in verse 40 that Jesus stopped and he commanded that Bartimaeus be brought to him. Now, frankly, that command has not been abrogated. That command is still active. The goal of God is for us to bring hurting, wounded people to Jesus, blind people spiritually, so they can find their sight. So they brought him to him, and what did Jesus do? He paused in this man who was a social reject at the bottom of society's ladder, this blind beggar that people had written off as just getting probably what he deserves for past sin or mistakes. Jesus stopped and he focused on him. Now, where was Jesus going? He was en route to the cross. He was going on the most important mission that a human had ever endeavored. He was going to die for us. He had an appointment with death, and he was going to open the gateway to eternal life. And yet he found time to stop and to minister to this man that everybody else had written off. And friends, that tells me a great truth. It says that in this vast scheme of the universe, where there are 7 billion people, and we as individuals can feel insignificant, unimportant, and undervalued, Jesus hears us when we call to him. Let me equate it to the sun. You know, the mighty sun in our solar system is 93 million miles away, and its size and gravitational pull keeps our entire solar system operating in order instead of chaos. And yet that same sun has the power on a cold winter's day to warm my face with its gentle heat. That's how the Lord Jesus is. He runs the universe, but he has time for stopping and caring and touching one person who calls out to him. Look at number four. You see, you must admit your need in order to be changed. You've got to admit your need in order to be changed. Now, verse 41 is surprising, because Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, it seems kind of obvious, self-evident. This guy's a wretched beggar. You would think that Jesus would just come up and, "I see your problem. I already know everything. I know your need. Let me touch you." Jesus did this in John chapter 5. There was a man who had been sitting for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda. And what did Jesus say to him? "What do you want me to do?" He was engaging the man. You see, we are wired with a very dangerous component. It is called free will. And free will enables me to receive or reject the gift of God. So when the Lord Jesus comes up to this man and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" He is basically engaging him. He is inviting him to admit his need. You see, there's only one place you won't find Jesus, and that's where he is uninvited. And in that moment, Bartimaeus invited Jesus. Friendship, partnership, help, hope, and healing. And that's what the Lord wants to do for us. He wants you to acknowledge your need. Friends, oh, my precious friends, right now, the Lord Jesus is here. I ask you at the outset of this message, what is your greatest need? Would you acknowledge it right now? Would you say, "Lord Jesus, I've got a physical need. I am hurting and I need your help and your healing." Would you say, "Lord, I've got an emotional need. I've been hooked by an addiction. My emotions burst into anger and alienate me from the people that I love. I'm dealing with depression. I've got anxiety that's holding me back." Would you admit that? Would you put it before the Lord right now? Would you say, "Lord, I've got a relationship that needs to be repaired because I've got a loved one. I've got a prodigal child out there and it's breaking my heart and I've got to get reconnected. Father, I ask that you would help my finances. I've been spending out of control, and I need your discipline to bring me back into control. Father, I've got a spiritual problem. I need you. I used to be so close to you. I used to have a heart for worship, but now something's happened, and I've drifted away, and I am as flat as a broken tire. Would you fix me? Would you fill me back up?" You see, the Lord is here, and he will meet your need if you will admit it and get his help. And then number five, lastly, watch this. When you see Jesus, you will follow him anywhere. When you see Jesus, you will follow him anywhere. Watch what happened in verse 42. "And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Even Jesus underlined the key component of activating his faith and getting him engaged in this process. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight, began following Jesus. He didn't run the other direction. He ran with his healer and his Savior, glorifying God, and he became instantly contagious, and other people got in on it. Oh, what a moment. You see, when you see the face of Jesus, you will follow him anywhere. Isn't it interesting that he walked up to him, and without touching Bartimaeus, he healed him? Those blind eyes that had not seen light, hadn't seen a face, they were instantly healed, just with a word. Now, on another occasion, Jesus touched the eyes of a blind man, and he was healed. On another occasion, Jesus touched the eyes of a blind man, and he was seeing people like they were trees upside down, and he had to touch him twice. On another occasion, Jesus spit on the ground, and he got a little mud pie, and he put it on the guy's eyes. And then he said, go wash in the pool, and then you'll be sighted again. Now, here's our problem sometimes. We want to superimpose how God touched us on other people and make that their requirement. You know, if these four guys got healed today, you know, probably what we would have is four different denominations. We would have the Word of Faith denomination, where Jesus just speaks. That's how he healed me. We would have the one-touch church, the two-touch church, and the spit-in-your-eye church. That's what we would have. Because we want to tell other people, the way God worked for me, it's the only way he works. No, he's not. He's God. He can do whatever he wants to. And with a word, he healed him, and he was set free. And he can do that same thing for you. I'm not sure how he's going to work. He may work through a doctor. He may work through a counselor. He may work through this moment. And he may speak his word of faith, and you're set free. In just a moment, we're going to sing a closing hymn by a blind lady named Fanny Crosby. You see, Fanny Crosby encountered Jesus. She did what Bartimaeus did. She saw with her eyes of faith, and she trusted the Lord, and she started following him. Fanny Crosby is an interesting lady. She wasn't born blind, but when she was 6 weeks old, she had a cold, and the cold got caught in her eye. And so the doctor came, and he treated her badly. He put a hot poultice on her eyes and blinded her by accident. So she spent the rest of her life locked into her blindness. But even at age 8, she started praising God. She says, God has locked me into himself with my blindness. And she wrote the most amazing hymn. She wrote over 15,000 poems, and many of them became hymns, like Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And then she wrote the hymn that we're going to sing in just a moment, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Because she had heard the story of Bartimaeus. And she wrote this hymn, Hear My Humble Cry. While on others you are calling, do not pass me by. In just a moment we'll be singing. Before that we'll be praying. But this is your moment to connect to Jesus because he's here. Oh, Father, we come.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.